Hello, welcome back to Dead Drunk Uncle. I'm your host, Steph. We'll give you the regular warning for language, violence, murder, addiction, elder care. People seem to be upset by the C word, and that's probably the last time you'll ever hear me say the C word, because I like to say the word cunt. Yesterday, I told somebody to have a cunty day. I don't even know what that means, but I still stand by it. Okay, so as you can see, I might have put a little too much powder that I got completely legally from my local dispensary with my medical card. Quit questioning me, come back with a warrant. Anyway, I might have had too much coffee, too much powder in my coffee, too much capsules in my powder. Look, I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Quit hounding me. So, I typed a bunch of stuff up, so I guess I'm just going to start reading it. I didn't even review it before I started recording. I just got a burst of energy, and that's good stuff. I've got insane hives. I was going to say I'm covered, but I'm not covered, just part of me's covered. And like, I can feel that it's going to get worse. Do you know what I mean? I don't know if anyone else has chronic idiopathic urticaria or you get hives that aren't directly related to a specific allergen or stimulus. I told you I'm not a scientist. That's the tornado warning siren. Now, don't worry. You guys don't have to be scared. But I want to leave that in because how fucking random. That's cool. They test the sirens out on the first Friday of the month at noon. So I guess now you know exactly what time I am. I am not time. Okay, this one's not going to make it to the airwaves probably because I cannot follow my own train of thought. But luckily, I have a bunch of stuff typed up. Okay, so a really weird thing happened. I was looking for sleep meditation podcast. Oh, God, I cannot fucking read. I was looking for which sleep meditation podcast I wanted to listen to before bed the other night, and I realized my old podcast still existed in some form. I had deleted it all a while ago. I think it was after we discovered that my uncle was a pedo, and I was disgusted with the amount of emotional labor I had spent on that turd. So I wanted no part of this old podcast because it was, you know, all about like how hard it was taking care of him. It was not very many episodes, and I kept it mostly to myself. Not really secret, but I just didn't want to do anything but just talk it through, so it felt kind of gross to be talking about this stuff publicly, so I wanted a little distance from it, I guess. I don't even remember how many episodes I did or when I stopped, but anywho, since it was there, I of course decided to listen to it. It took me a couple of days. I figured during some exercisings it would be the best time to listen, and I was right. Even though I had talked about it all, the things, oh my God, it is so hard to read this computer right now. You don't even understand. Oof. I think this is just hard to do. Okay, anyway, even though I had talked about all the things in that episode many times since then, it was still jarring to listen. It was horrible to listen to me being so worried about letting him down and then describing all of the things I was doing to take care of him and how hard it was. How could I have ever worried I wasn't doing enough? I set some boundaries to protect my mental and physical health from his addiction, basically. I really underestimated the level of stress I was in before he died. I keep seeing this whole thing as starting when he died. But, this is going to be really hard to turn a page. I keep seeing this whole thing as starting when he died, but I forget to appreciate that I was going through so much for a couple of years that I was helping him before he died. So when I'm getting frustrated with myself for having too many panic attacks and not understanding what the fuck is wrong with me, that I can't just do the things I need to do or want to do, I need to remember I was on the trauma train for a sec before it all blew up. So no matter how well I'm doing or how many proactive things I do, I'm just going to not be okay sometimes. Everyone seems to recognize that. I, of course, think it's been long enough, but I'm always impatient. I can't wait to read this back when I'm not stoned and see the typing, because I swear I can't type if I'm looking at the screen. I seem to be fine when I'm paying attention to the TV while I type. What the fuck is that shit all about? That actually is scaring me, because now I'm looking at the screen and, oh wait, nope, I can't type now. Okay, I was a little extra high when I was typing this, and now I'm a little extra high while I'm reading it. I just want to apologize for you and thank you again for listening. Oh gosh, no, that was funny, because I remember this. I wasn't that high. But, you know, when you're typing, you're not really, or at least the way my mom taught me, you're not supposed to be looking at the keyboard or anything. You know, you're supposed to be looking at the thing that you're copying. Because I guess, you know, when we learned to type back in the olden times, we were just assuming, I guess, that we were secretaries and we were copying, you know, someone's handwriting or something. So you're looking at that while you're typing. But I was never taught to be looking at a screen while I was typing, because even though computers, like, were around and we used them in some limited capacity, it wasn't, you know, I'm old. This was a long time ago. We weren't, like, we didn't have internet. I didn't have any use for any fandangled computers. I had a word processor in college, you guys. I had a word processor. That was my graduation present, which it was awesome. I'm not making fun, but that's how old I am. I mean, it did the job. I had to write my papers and I could save them. I could put a floppy disk in them. They weren't floppy though. Those were hard disks. Okay. Anyway, I was very entertained by how, when I would be watching the screen and kind of even paying attention to the show on the TV, while I'm typing, the typing doesn't have so many errors. When I look at the screen and I try to only focus on what I'm doing, all of a sudden my typing is full of errors and just random keystrokes. Okay. My brain is full of random keystrokes. I'm going to take another sip of coffee. So, anywho's, I went back to the old podcast page again, and I was able to get 4 episodes to show up, but they showed that they were all downloaded. I went back, and now the first and the last show only showed up, but they were saying they weren't downloaded anymore, and I couldn't download them. So, anyways, I managed to listen to the last episode and the first episode. And those are the only 2 I was able to get somehow. I know this sounds stupid, but I swear to you, I will show you my fucking phone. I would love to figure this the fuck out. I have something downloaded. I don't know. Ugh, it's so annoying. So anywho, I gotta stop saying that. It's just really annoying. I hated that show. Sorry, now I'm just speaking randomly while I'm trying to find my place. Okay, so they weren't downloaded, but I did manage to listen to the last episode. And I did that episode in the week or two in between when our dog Monty died and when my drunk uncle died. That was fucking bonkers to go back to that place mentally. I was so focused on my uncle that I pushed down my Monty grief. I didn't even mention to my uncle that Monty had passed. Fuck. Oh, that's the last that I actually wrote on a script about it, because as you can see, I probably got annoyed. And then I have a little portrait that I commissioned. I'm not even kidding. I mean, it was just an inexpensive thing I did online, no big deal. But I do have a picture of him with his ashes right over there. He was such a good boy. He was such a good boy. Anyways, my grief for Monty got stuck there in that week. You know, I just said I recorded it. It was like 2 weeks or something in between when Monty died, which was pretty sudden. I mean, he was old and everything, but it was pretty sudden. Unexpected, anyway. And when my uncle died, that was like, that's a very specific period of time. And it feels kind of suspended for me. Like I left everything there in that little box. And those were a lot of hard feelings that I left back there. And so I just reopened them, I guess, when I listened to that episode. It feels like it's more than just grief, though. You know, it's not just Monty grief. And I don't mean to be dismissive of it by saying just the grief of losing a dog. But I mean, it feels like in that 2 week period, I have all my emotions boxed up in that space. And like, I don't know if I want it out. I mean, it doesn't matter, it's open. He was a very good boy, that Monty. And that was very, very hard to lose him. He was the first of our dogs. And, you know, we got all excited about getting dogs. We got a whole bunch of them around the same time, around the same age. So it's just kind of like a little Debbie Downer in the background all the time, I guess. I think maybe that's what I was trying to leave there. Future grief. I don't just want to leave his grief there. I want to leave the future grief that I know is going to happen ultimately. But let's not be downers. I'm going to take another sip of coffee. So that's what I was doing recently. I went back and revisited my old podcast that I did under an assumed name for a couple of weeks when I was complaining about, I don't mean complaining like it's a bad thing. I was like venting and talking through what was going on with when I was taking care of him. And that was a really hard time. It was a hard job, even though it didn't take up a lot of physical effort. Like, that's where my guilt is. You know, I wasn't going every single day myself. I hired someone. And whenever I was there, I wanted to get the fuck out of there. And like I just didn't, I didn't want to be part of that space. And my guilt sits there because it's like I should have done more. I shouldn't be complaining about what I did because it didn't take much time. But it took all the effort I had. You know, and I don't know that that's even anything related to my physical health and those kinds of problems, because I know a lot of times I've got to realize just because there's 24 hours in a day, you know, normal people might say then they have 10 good hours in a day that could be something important, but I only have less than that usable hours. I don't know, like maybe a few usable hours a day. And that's just all I have sometimes. So it gets really hard when like I was hiring somebody to help me with him. And it's not like I was physically exhausting myself. It was hiring someone to do something I didn't want to do myself. And there's some kind of shame that's supposed to be in that. But the reason I didn't want to do that myself is because for someone personally connected, it's too hard. It's traumatic to do. To someone removed from the situation, who is a professional in handling that stuff, it's not the same experience. Why am I just sitting here trying to convince myself it's okay? Because I think this is my road to forgiving myself. It's okay. You can't do something about everything that you worry about. And I worry a lot. So a lot of my worries, you know, go unresolved. So it's very easy then to come back later and be like, oh, you worried about that and you never did anything about it. You should have done something about it. But if I did something about everything I ever worried about, I couldn't. I guess I'm just telling you I'm a worrier. God, okay. I tried to move on a minute ago, and I got myself lost again. So I'm going to try and move on again. Let's see what's going down. Oh, my God. These hives are so fucking distracting. Fuck. Okay. Now, we had a very interesting story come up locally, and I, honest to God, I think this is a good story for us to investigate, because truly, I think there is something in this, and I'm not being facetious. There's definitely something in here. My bullshit, cult, liar, craziness, whatever detector is going off like crazy, telling me there is something under this that is much deeper. But even if it's not, it's a fairly inconsequential small town drama. So I feel like it's something where we're not like exploiting. I don't know. I'm trying really hard to be a good person, and I want to be a good person in everything that I do, whether it's my hobbies or my funsies or my whatevers. I am trying really hard to be a good, responsible person. So, deposed bratwurst queen Abigail Brockwell has retained a lawyer. That is the headline from Jerry Goebel in the Bucyrus Telegraph Forum. Oh, shit, I didn't put down the date. That would have made it sound professional. I want to say it was like the 21st or something, but anyways, it was like mid to late August. You know, recently. So I saw a post on social media. If to me, Bratwurst Festival is just normal because, like, that just happens. There's a town called Bucyrus. It's not far from here. I don't know, like 45 minutes or something. It's another small, stupid town like the one I'm in. I'm not saying I'm better than it by any means. This is not a Pawnee and Eagleton situation. They're just a couple of towns. And for whatever reason, I'm sure if I had ever actually gone to the Bratwurst Festival or read anything on their website or their Facebook page, I'm sure I would easily know why they celebrate the Bratwurst or why it's that, you know, I'm sure they invented it or something stupid. But it's just what happens in Bucyrus. And all the little towns have a festival. It's just normal for us. I mean, well, we don't in my town have something like that per se, but isn't there like the Glass City Festival in Toledo? Why do I think that's in Fostoria, but Toledo's the Glass City? Jesus, I don't know, but like all the towns and shit have weird festivals and stuff. Like, oh no, ours is the Heritage Festival. Ours is the Heritage Festival. That. Here's where I'm going to digress now. Shit. Okay. So, the Heritage Festival is our local festival. And we celebrate. Oh, my God. This is Pawnee. I'm going to do another episode on just how my town is Pawnee. Yet again, I digress. So, the Heritage Festival. I mean, what could go wrong with something called the Heritage Festival. Jesus Christ. Anyways, you know, every little festival has their royalty, right? Their court, their queens. And all I ever wanted to be was a princess. So when I was little, and by little, I mean eighth grade, because I think, I don't remember what the ages were. But anyways, like junior princess was like whatever age up to like 14, and princess was like 15 to 17, and queen was like 18 and up or some, you know what I mean? It's age divisions, right? So the youngest one was junior princess, and so I ran for that. I didn't win. But I got second runner up. And there were like, I don't know how many kids, but there were enough kids in it that like we needed risers for us to all be standing on the stage at the same time. So I beat out some people to get third place. There's no shame in that. And my mom made my costume, which I thought was horrible at the time, but now I think it's adorable. And that's probably why I got whatever's, bonus points or whatever, because it was like, an old-timey heritage festival type, Little House on the Prairie type costume that my mommy made for me. And it was really cute. I didn't wear the stupid hat, but she still made the stupid hat for me anyways. Oh my gosh, my mom can sew. I still have a sewing project I wanted to do, and she said she'd help me with it. We were supposed to do it like a year ago. It's still just sitting here at my craft station. But at least it's at a craft station, so it's, organized and professional. If you could see this, you'd know why that's funny. Losing my place. So, yeah, so after I got a taste of royalty from being second runner up, then it was like, all right, now I'm in, now I know how to do this shit, right? So I tried really, really hard the next 2 years. The next year, I was in the age range for the princess. So I ran for that. I mean, it's a pageant. I don't know why I say I ran for that. And I lost. Didn't I get a. Oh no, I didn't even get a runner up that time. I was really bad. Like I was so nervous while I was on stage. I didn't blank out during my speech, but I stopped and acted like I blanked out. Like it was a self-sabotaging thing, and I didn't understand why I was doing it. But I knew I wasn't good enough to win that year. So I just kind of didn't really, I just kind of blew it halfway through my speech. Huh. That's something to explore. So, anyways, then the next year, I mean, I really tried. Like, I made my speech and I don't even remember what I put in a frame, but I had some kind of visual aid for my speech. Like, as if anyone in the audience could even see what was on it. I don't know what I thought I was doing, but I thought I was being very professional and very impressive and very grown up and very well spoken and very much a pageant girl. There were only three of us in it, and I got first runner up. They weren't going with a pageant girl type that year. That year, they wanted just a regular old girl. I was devastated. Oh my God, that was horrible. There's a picture of me walking off stage. I'm already throwing a fucking tantrum when I'm walking off stage. I'm such a fucking baby. No offense to babies. Okay. So, anyways, the Bratwurst Festival is one of these local festivals that we have. A young woman who was stripped of her title as Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival Queen days before the opening of this year's event has retained a lawyer. And again, this is the article from Bucyrus Telegraph Forum written by Jerry Goebel. On Friday, Abigail Brockwell shared with media, a letter from Wade Law Office of Galleon that was sent to the Corey Law Office, which represents the Bratwurst Festival Board of Directors, on Thursday, the festival's opening day. Please be advised that our office has retained by Abigail Brockwell. Sorry, I don't want to make it sound like the lawyers are dumb. Please be advised that our office has been retained by Abigail Brockwell and her parents, Angie Brockwell and Grant Brockwell, to represent them in all matters relating to the removal of Abigail Brockwell as Bratwurst Festival Queen, states the letter, which was signed by E. Roberta Wade. The letter requests that the Corey Law Office note this representation and direct all correspondence regarding the matter to Wade's office. On Friday, Wade confirmed she will be representing the Brockwells. She said she plans to issue a news release about the situation sometime next week. So, Abigail Brockwell was the queen, and she was crowned queen at last year's festival. I guess it was last year's, because I'm assuming one happened last year. So, in August of 2021, this young woman, Abigail, was one queen, was crowned. One, whatever. So she gets the job. So that means from when she was crowned then, you know, she did represent the festival as the queen, which sounds silly to you listening. And maybe it is, but whatever. Like, then all these other festivals, like I said, then they go to all those festivals and with their sashes and their crowns and whatever. And they're representing their heritage, for lack of a better word, since I said, you know, ours is called the Heritage Festival. So, she, you know, did work for them for an entire year. She was crowned last year in August. Okay, so then the article next says, when was Abigail Brockwell removed from office? Festival director Kevin Myers confirmed Monday that Brockwell had been removed from office. Natalie Stover, who had served as first runner-up throughout the year, became queen in her stead. I just like how they wrote it. Angie Brockwell has said her daughter was removed from office on August 8th, just 10 days before the festival began. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's so fucked up. Because she's queen from when she's crowned at the festival until she crowns the next one at the next festival. So she did all the work of the queen up until 10 days before she was supposed to be crowning the next one. And they felt the need to remove that crown from her 10 days before the next festival. Like, it was that fucking important that they couldn't just let her stay queen until she crowns the next one. They had to remove her from office. They were referring to it as office in here somewhere, so I mean, it's not elected by the... I don't know what it is, but she was working for them. What, you know, think whatever you want about the work. I don't know what it is, but she still did it. So on Thursday, Stover, who was the runner-up, opened the festival by taking the ceremonial first bite of bratwurst. I didn't write that. Crowned the 2022 queen and was awarded a $1,000 scholarship sponsored by Carl's Bratwurst. Support from the community. Several people in the crowd for the Queen's pageant on Thursday evening wore black t-shirts with Long Live the Queen on the front and hashtag Team Abby on the back. The t-shirts were designed by Rachel Stryker of Happy Print on Sandusky Avenue. Stryker said 25% of the sales will be donated in an effort to replace Brockwell's scholarship. We were approached by many citizens of Bucyrus to make something available due to the outrage, Stryker said. We can't claim to know the whole story. We don't have any horses in the race other than wanting to be the best for the integrity of the festival and Bucyrus as a whole. A local resident's Facebook post criticizing the decision and demanding that Brockwell be allowed to fulfill her last duty as queen and that festival director Kevin Myers be fired has had more than 450 shares. Neither side has commented on the record regarding the reason for Brockwell's removal. So, the next article, and I still have on here, it says Jerry Goble, Cheryl Avari. So I don't know if that means they both were, but now this says the Cincinnati Inquirer. And this one's 826. Okay. And the headline here is Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival Queen ousted after attending luncheon. So after I put these articles in here in chronological order, because I knew I wouldn't be able to, anyway. So this article, the queen of the Bratwurst Festival in a northern Ohio city has been stripped of her crown, and both the dethroned royal and festival organizers have retained legal counsel. Abigail Brockwell, expected to inaugurate this year's Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival August 18th with a ceremonial first bite of sausage. But when the bratwurst was delivered to the stage, it was first runner-up Natalie Stover who was in place to fulfill the queen's duties for the three-day festival. An annual summer tradition in Bucyrus since 1968, the festival includes rides, food, vendors, music, three parades, and contests from bratwurst eating to longest pigtails. Traditionally, a new queen is crowned on the first night of the event. Brockwell, 21, was crowned in 2021 and was expected to reign over this year's festivities, but she was removed from her throne 10 days before the start of the 2022 festival. Why was she removed? Rockwell attended a luncheon hosted by another festival in violation of the Bratwurst Festival Board's instructions, according to a letter from Board President Adam Heinlein. At a royalty travel meeting August 3rd, the Queen and her court were told they were to stop attending other festivals around the state as representatives of the Bratwurst Festival, Heinlein stated. The letter stated Queens's actions and behaviors while at other festivals toward each other and other festival royalty did not properly represent the festival, he wrote. It is not clear what actions prompted the travel ban. I wish I had written this article. It's amazing. Court members asked if they could travel on their own to other festivals and were told they could do so, provided they did not present themselves as festival representatives and did not wear their... Oh, man, I meant to look this up, see how to pronounce it. And did not wear their dirndls, crowns, or sashes. They were to wear regular clothing. Heinlein's letter states they were explicitly told not to attend any luncheons, as luncheons are events reserved exclusively for visiting royalty and are not open to the general public. Both Brockwell and the festival board agree that she attended a Queen's luncheon at the Baltimore Festival on August 6th. What they disagree on is whether she was there in her official capacity as Queen. The Bratwurst Festival Board of Directors contends she was. The board explained to Ms. Brockwell that by attending the luncheon, she interrupted the duties of another girl who had been delegated as a Bratwurst Festival representative as directed by the board for that luncheon. Oh, that's weird. So someone else... Wait a minute. Who did they send to that luncheon to represent the Bratwurst Festival and why? I've got to write this down because that's the part that I want to look back for. Okay. That was just me bumping into that. Okay. What was that? Oh, yeah. Who went to the Baltimore luncheon? I should tell you, Baltimore is just another town. I think it's out farther east towards Cleveland. I think it's somewhere in between here and Cleveland. I don't know. Luncheon. And I love the word luncheon. It's nice to say. It's nice to look at. I just like the word luncheon. Okay. What does dethroned Bratwurst Queen say happened? On August 24th, Brockwell's lawyer, E. Roberta Wade, released a copy of the letter the board gave her client to officially notify her of her removal. By attending the Baltimore Festival Queen's Luncheon, you took the place of a royalty court member who was designated as an official representative of the Bratwurst Festival, the board's letter states. This negatively impacted that representative and the image of Bratwurst and the image of Bratwurst Festival, Inc. Oh my God. Sometimes I hate this part of the country and sometimes I fucking love it. Brockwell confirmed to the Telegraph Forum that the luncheon was attended by the Bratwurst Festival princess and her mother. Oh, so I had that already in my note. Oh, no, I didn't make that note. Jeez. Edit! Madison Kent, daughter of Crawford County... Oh. Now I see where the problem is. Madison Kent, daughter of Crawford County Sheriff Scott Kent and his wife Kimberly, was the festival's 2021 princess, according to previous reports. Brockwell contends she made it clear to everyone at the luncheon that she was not representing the Bratwurst Festival. They wrote my name down and wrote visitor underneath it, and we paid with our own check, Brockwell told a Telegraph Forum reporter on Wednesday. Wade, who is representing Brockwell and her parents, provided a copy of the personal check and a letter from Danae White, pageant queen's director at the Baltimore Festival in Fairfield County, that supports Brockwell's claim. Fairfield County, though, that's south, isn't it? I don't know. White states Brockwell's mother, Angie, asked if she and Abby could attend in an unofficial capacity, as Abby and one of the outgoing Baltimore Festival Court members had become very good friends. White replied that they would be welcome to attend as that court member's guest, but made it clear Abby would not wear her crown or sash and that she must pay for both entries at the door. White provided photos that show Brockwell was wearing a black dress, no crown, no sash. So what rules do the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival Board say were broken? The letter given to Brockwell on August 8th states she violated contract rules requiring her to wear a dirndl and apron. Dirndl? Dirndl. That's not what a dirndl is. I don't know. It's D-I-R-N-D-L. And it's a traditional German dress. And apron. Crown and sash for all appearances, and broke another rule by being seen and photographed with a cell phone in her hand. Another rule states the royalty travel chairperson is to handle travel arrangements and that attendance of events must be approved by the royalty committee advisor. A dirndl is a... I really didn't read these articles before posting them in here, I guess. A dirndl is a traditional dress worn in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria, and other regions of Europe based on the historical costume of Alpine peasants. The dirndl consists of a bodice, blouse, full skirt, and apron. At the Bratwurst Festival's royalty pageants, judging includes the authenticity of a contestant's dirndl and her knowledge of the traditions surrounding the dress. A new dress is one of the prizes awarded to the queen. On Thursday, Wade said, "It's absolutely not true that Brockwell represented herself as a festival representative. The board needs to step back and look at this, and they should be feeling very embarrassed and ashamed of what they did," she said. It sounds like they should be, truly, that they, like the sheriff, it, to me, in my opinion, allegedly, what I think it sounds like is the sheriff's daughter got her feet stepped on by the queen being there when she was supposed to be the representative, and the sheriff complained and got her fired for technically breaking a rule. Now look. That sounds kind of stupid to me, though. So I have no idea if I'm right. But whatever. When asked what the Brockwells would like to see happen if the board were to decide it had erred, Wade said she wasn't sure. "How can you write this wrong? The first in this is getting the board to recognize that they took drastic action that was very damaging to Abigail Brockwell, was not warranted, and was based on false belief." Yeah, because this really does make her look bad. That's kind of fucked up. Oh, that's the end of it. I know I read something on here. They asked her to give back all of her stuff, like that she won. And it was a ridiculous list of things. Okay, here's something from the Columbus Dispatch from 2 days ago. The title is Bratwurst Gate. I hate when you add that to the end of something to make it something. It's fucking annoying, so I'm not going to say that again. It's The Scandal We Didn't Know We Needed by Sherita Gaucher for The Repository. August 31st, 2022. In Bucyrus, Ohio, the most pressing issue of the moment is not the upcoming election, Ukraine, or gas prices. Well, I would say that's not entirely true. It's the dethroning of Abigail Abby Brockwell, the 2021 Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival Queen. According to a report by the Bucyrus Telegraph Forum, Brockwell was removed as Queen by the Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival Board of Directors earlier this month amid claims that she violated rules on travel and representation. She's accused of attending a private Queen's luncheon hosted by another festival in violation of Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival policy for being photographed holding a cell phone and for not wearing her dirndl. That's what I was looking for, where they said in one thing, sorry, I'll keep reading, a traditional German alpine dress, which is a crucial element for all public appearances by the Queen. Brockwell's mother confirmed that they did attend the luncheon, but as a private guest of Baltimore Festival Pageant Queen, who is a personal friend of her daughter. The board contends the Brockwells shouldn't have attended at all because it had already sent a girl representative from Bucyrus. The fuck is that? Is that the writing, or that's what they said? Because it's not in quotes. It had already sent a girl representative from Bucyrus. Now lawyers have climbed into the ring. What's next? Finding out that Big Butter Jesus was in fact made of, I can't believe it's not butter. This writing is not my favorite. Why it's a big deal in Bucyrus. To outsiders, it may seem like much ado about nothing. To the parties involved, it's serious business. The Bucyrus Bratwurst Festival pays homage to the community's identity, history, culture, and tradition. In places where time has stood still, where cynicism has not yet... Has this woman been to Bucyrus? Has not yet made many inroads, such a thing still matters. Generations of young girls in small towns all over America have grown up aspiring to wear festival crown. As long as a festival queen lives, she'll always be a celebrity of sorts in her hometown, unless her crown is stripped. Who would want to live with that? Some of you are old enough to remember when Vanessa Williams, the country's first Black Miss America, had her crown rescinded after nude modeling photos were discovered. But Williams, whose pageant talent was singing, got the last laugh by winning 11 Grammys, 3 Emmys, 8 NAACP Image Awards, and 3 Screen Actors Guild Awards, and watching as the Miss America pageant sank into irrelevance. But such endings don't occur for deposed queens in small-town America. Why, it's a welcome distraction for outsiders. Like all looky-here stories that happen elsewhere, the festival queen snafu in Bucyrus has become a distraction for us outsiders. It's a distraction for us insiders. I'm not an insider, I guess. A respite from the constant conflict over abortion, classified documents, inflation, the never-rending nightmare that is the 2020 election, the general all-purpose sense of dread over the future of democracy. It certainly generated more online traffic on Gannett's Ohio network than the latest coverage on vaccines and rental housing costs. As proof that we like drama, no matter how much we claim otherwise, if you were to measure the reader traffic of Brockwell being dethroned to the coverage of her winning, there'd be no contest. Brockwell was replaced by her first runner-up, who already has crowned the 2022 Festival Queen. But attorneys for Brockwell and the festival board still are squabbling over whether she was illegally ousted. Well, they can't tell her that she can't go to an event as a private citizen. I don't think that they can legally do that. I have absolutely no reason to believe that or to know that I'm an expert, but that's just what I really think. Based on the reporting, they appear to be talking past one another. If a solution is not found, it may well end up in court, which might only serve to divide longtime neighbors and friends. It might not seem like that big of a deal to us on the outside, who will graze, then move on to the next story, but to those young women and their families, it's everything. Yeah, I agree. Oh, this says, Sherita Gaucher is a Canton Repository staff writer and member of the editorial board. Look, I'm a little sensitive about small town shit. I can complain about it all I want, but I don't like it when someone else does. Look at me discovering my own hypocrisy. Growing. I'm always growing. God, that's not even a joke, always growing. Still growing, girl, even though I'm old. Okay, so that is, that's where we are. I know, they haven't come to any official conclusion. I really want to know what the rub is there with the princess, the 2021 princess. There's some reason, like, she hates the queen, or maybe there's not. Maybe the board is just made assumptions and was incorrect, you know, because The best answer would be that, like, they saw a picture of her at this place and someone told them, you know, they heard secondhand, third hand, fourth hand, that she was, fourth hand, that's not a word, that she was there. And they knew that they had told her she wasn't supposed to be there. And then they just went ahead and fired her instead of asking her about it because they thought to themselves, like most small people, small town people do, she was there and she's not allowed to be there. Boom, that's the rules, period. We don't need to hear from other people and understand anything. That's my assumption. Again, though, that's not based on any actual knowledge or expertise. So I hope we all feel better now that we've done a deep dive into local pageant politics. I still really always wanted to win a crown. I just wanted to win. Like, I wanted to win it. I won a race once, a running race, but I think it's just because there weren't very many people there. Why do I feel like sorry for myself? I'm in a great mood. Okay, anyways, if we hear any more information about Abby Brockwell and her crown, I will be certain to update this. But I have a feeling like everything else that happens here, it's just going to disappear and there's going to be nothing else about it. I might be wrong about that for this one. This is probably something that they're willing to do out in public. Not like the murders, the guy who was found dead after he went for a walk with no shoes on. Down the road here, by the river, and we haven't heard another word about it, and there's nothing I can find on it. Look, it might be nothing, but it would be nice if we knew. That's what looks suspect to everyone when you're not forthcoming. Oh, hey, this thing they sent me is wrong. Look, I can't stop getting distracted, and now I don't even have a script in front of me, and I can see that I actually made a full episode from looking at the time. So thank you guys so much. Thanks again for listening. Be kind. I've got to work on that. I promised to be nice yesterday, and I wasn't. I called her cunty. No, I didn't. I told her to have a cunty day. That's where I'm going to leave you. Have a great and cunty day.